Time for Stephen Brunt. Let's talk about it. The fight that was never going to happen is going to happen, and it's kind of like, it's like anything else. It's like the Raiders moving to Vegas. It's when there's that much money on the table, it's going to happen one way or the other. And for Mayweather, I mean, he has nothing to prove, but he loves money. And for McGregor, it's more money than he'll ever make doing. Like, that's the crazy part, is he's not going to get hurt because Mayweather doesn't go after anybody anymore. So he'll make more not getting punched than he would getting punched. And it's going to happen. And you're going to be there.
Yes, I'm going to represent Sportsnet at this great.
Of course you are.
Darn right. Well, have you ever been to Las Vegas in August? Doesn't actually sound like that much of a treat, but we'll see. I've never been there in the summer. I think the latest I ever covered a fight there was in May. I think the third Leonard Duran fight was in May. I remember that being rather warm.
Yeah, pack a tank top.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a lot of outdoor activities, but and, you know, look, when they started talking about this, a year and a bit ago, when McGregor started talking about it, I know a lot of people immediately said, it's not going to happen, it's just crap, they're just talking, it's no way. But there was always, I always kind of, you know, look, I've been around boxing enough and around MMA enough to know that, you know, if you follow the money, you will come to the truth, right? It's all about the money, obviously. And you just kind of do a risk-reward proposition here. What's the risk for these two guys?
Zero.
Yeah, zero. Mayweather's not going to lose, right? So he's, you know, he's got his 49-0 record on the line, but there's no chance he's going to lose this fight. Just, you know, I would say, you know, I was just watching the Max Kellerman clip from ESPN yesterday where he said that McGregor will not land a single punch. I think that is more likely than Mayweather losing. I think it's entirely possible that McGregor will not land a single punch in this fight. So no risk for it's easy payday for Floyd Mayweather. Huge payday. He gets to 50-0, and yeah, that 50 is against a guy who has no amateur boxing background, never fought as an amateur, never fought as a pro, comes from a completely different sport. So you know, yeah, that versus going and fighting the winner of Alvarez Golovkin in September, you know, it's a different proposition, right? And you know, probably the same amount of money. So it's all positive for him, and for McGregor, no one makes that kind of dough in the UFC. You know, the way that business is structured, even their biggest stars don't make the money, which is weird because boxing is kind of off the burner now. But their guys, you know, the George St. Pierre's and the John Jones and all the Manny McGregor, all the biggest stars, Ronda Rousey, they don't make money like Floyd Mayweather made money or Manny Pacquiao made money. They do okay. But this is a chance for him to go into the stratosphere, right, to make $100 million plus. And, what, you know, if he gets humiliated by a boxer, well, he's not a boxer. You know?
I know.
He's an MMA guy. He's not going to be able to grapple. He can't do the stuff he does. So if he goes in there and bravely loses, which is kind of what I expect, you know, probably run out of gas late in the fight, he just laughs all the way to the bank and maybe he never fights again. You know, I think if I was him, I'm not sure I would go back and fight in the cage for $10 million if I'm going to cash a check for $140 million off this fight.
Dana White is selling it like this is a win for UFC, but I think what you just said illustrates why it might not be a win at all, because it gives a map, so to speak, for guys to get paid that are in UFC and to not do it through UFC and to potentially chase a star away from the UFC.
Well, you know, I think that's, look, I think MMA is kind of where it is now, and I think it's kind of plateaued, and I'm not one of these boxing guys who hates MMA. I've tried to understand it and, you know, kind of tried to. And I've talked to Dana White plenty over the years, and I've been to live shows. So I admire what they've done as a business. It's not my cup of tea aesthetically, but I like they're really smart. You know, he and the Fertitta brothers, and then they sold the company out and made a fortune, right? But they have had an issue the last few years in continuing to create stars and kind of preserve those stars. And that's the beauty of their business was if their best guy got knocked off, they would build another guy up. And through all of their many shows and the Ultimate Fighter and all that stuff, and they would just have this endless supply of guys, so they were disposable, which as a business model is great because that means you never have to pay anybody. You know, you never have to. You're never at the mercy of any one fighter, whether it's St. Pierre or McGregor or Rousey or anybody else. But, you know, if you kind of look around, you know, St. Pierre's been out for a couple of years now. He's talking about he's maybe coming back in the fall, but Rousey's probably never going to fight again. John Jones has had all kinds of issues away from the octagon, No, you know, he's supposed to fight in the summer, but you have no idea. And this could be the swan song for their most popular guy, McGregor. And then you kind of look around, and there's just a bunch of guys. So, yeah, it's not ideal for them, but I don't think Dana White had any choice but to try and negotiate for himself and for his company the best deal they could, because, you know, that's everybody's back was kind of against the wall here in that sense. You know, same with the athletic commission that had to license him and probably shouldn't have licensed him and all that stuff. Like, just, again, there's just so much money on the line that everybody's just going to kind of hold their nose and let this thing go.
And it's going to sell, and it's going to sell out, and it's a weird one because I defer to people, like you said, Max Kellerman. He's been around the ring for a long time. And for him to say not only does McGregor not have a chance to win, to not land a punch, it sobers me a little bit to hear that.
Yeah, it probably doesn't matter how much guys like Max Kellerman say that, or going into Mayweather Pacquiao, which was the most successful boxing promotion in history, you know, I was one of many people who said I think this is going to be a mismatch. I don't think Pacquiao's going to lay a glove on Mayweather, and he'll fight a very tactical fight, and it'll be dead boring. But it didn't matter, right? Because everybody still wanted to see it. They wanted to see those two guys. I can sit here today and say there is no chance that this fight will be interesting. The fight week will be awesome. You know, it may be the greatest press conference in history. It may be the greatest weigh-in in history because both guys are pretty good on the mic. The circus that week will be tremendous, but I think once the bell rings, it gets way less interesting. But that doesn't matter because a whole lot of people are going to be willing to drop $100 or go to a bar or... You're going to feel compelled to just see what's this going to look like, and I don't think it'll be quite as off as Ali versus Antonio Inoki, but it's kind of that's kind of where this comes from, right? It's got that sideshow appeal. It's not really sports. This is way more circus than sport.
It's Rocky versus Thunderlips.
Exactly right. Cartoons, and they look like cartoons. Look at the poster. The guys look like they look like video game characters, right? That's the idea. And again, as much as you can sit back and decry it from some kind of purist standpoint, I don't know who's a purist in that world. Like, not a lot of purists in boxing or MMA, from what I can tell. But you can stand back and say this is going to be this is a farce, and I will not watch it. Well, you will, I guarantee. People, whether they watch it legally or try to watch it illegally, you're going to know this thing is happening on August 26th, and a lot of people are going to want to watch it. And then at the end, they may feel stupid, and they may feel like they wasted their $100. But as P.T. Barnum was right about stuff like this.
Are you surprised that you've been greenlit already to go? Because some would debate as to the merits of this of a sporting event.
Well, it's an event, though. The important word in that sentence is event, and I think. Yeah, I think people are going to want to be there to document it, and a lot of them are going to be standing and writing and standing in front of cameras and holding microphones saying this is going to be a terrible fight, it's a mismatch, it's one-sided, how could this possibly happen? But again, we're all feeding off this too. We're going to feed off that interest, so I think you can't not be there if you're in the sports business.
Yeah, so... You are the whole puncher's chance philosophy. You just suspend it completely for this fight?
Unless Floyd Mayweather has aged incredibly in the last 2 years. Okay, there's the one, and it's hard to imagine. He's a guy who stays in shape all the time. He's not a guy who's ever out of shape. But if you go back and watch Floyd's entire career against fighting the best guys in his weight class, not always in their absolute prime. He was pretty tactical about it. But think of the guys who couldn't hit him. Think of how good they are. Now, I saw Shane Mosley fight him, and Shane Mosley cracked him on the jaw in the second round, wobbled him, and in that fight, Floyd kind of held on, got himself together, took control, and I don't think lost another second of another round. So it's not like he's got a good chin. So and that was against a guy. Now that wasn't great, Shane Mosley. It was kind of late, Shane Mosley, but still, Shane Mosley could punch. And the notion that some great kind of crack of thunder is going to come from Conor McGregor, and that's the likes of which Floyd Mayweather has never seen before, and I know a lot of people would love to see that, and that's part of the appeal here, obviously, is Floyd getting his comeuppance. People have been waiting for that for 49 fights now. But there, you know, there's a reason he's 49-0. He is as skilled technically as any fighter, any boxer I have seen in the flesh. And that includes, you know, for me, I've been around a while, so that, you know, I saw Ray Leonard and I saw Duran. He is perfect technically. You know, and people say he runs and dances. He doesn't run and dance. You watch him. He stands there. You know, he does that little shoulder roll thing. He manages the distance between himself and the other fighter, which is really hard to do. And, you know, lots of guys have gone in the ring trying to knock his head off, and they've all lost. So I'm not sure why this guy would be different.
And he's got about six trademarks for a 50-0 type marketing campaign. He's
But, you know, again, you kind of, you know, a lot of his whole money thing to me is distasteful and kind of gross and, you know, and you know, again, not very clever. Talking about smart versus not smart, not very smart. But the guy has managed his career in a way that, you know, again, he's going to have two or three of the biggest paydays in the history of a sport, which has delivered huge paydays. It's, you know, he's made an unbelievable amount of money at a time when boxing is, you know, how far down the food chain is boxing in terms of sports? Mm-hmm. You know, way, way down. And yet the highest paid athlete in the world this year will be Floyd Mayweather.
So how did we get here? Did we get here simply because even McGregor has lost in his own discipline? Is it strictly because of his mouth? His trash talking has just gotten him $100 million.
Pretty much. Yeah, like he can punch. You know, like in MMA, he is a kind of a one-punch knockout guy in MMA. It's exciting. But it's mostly the way he works the mic. It's the way, you know, the character that he has created. If he was, you know, kind of a boring, if he was, you know, look, this fight would not happen. Now, not that George St. Pierre is a great striker or anything, but George St. Pierre's persona is completely different, right? Clean, squeaky clean, kind of boring, if you, you know, but technically superb in MMA. But, you know, George St. Pierre is not great on a mic. This has, again, the kind of crossover between this and professional wrestling is very strong. Now, Conor McGregor has created, it's like a wrestling work in that sense. You know, he's created, it's a great character. It's an unbelievable character. And, you know, Floyd's pretty good at that, too. That's what this is about.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited about the week. I'm excited to just watch how it plays out. I'm not so excited about the fight, but that's okay. You know, it doesn't, as I say, Pacquiao Mayweather was an amazing week leading up to a terrible fight. I kind of think that's what this will be, too.
And it's going to be held in the new arena, not at the MGM Grand. So we're talking about a big crowd.
Yeah, and that's kind of why it's happening in August. They got wedged in here. The Alvarez-Golovkin fight is locked up September 16th in that arena, which is the date these guys wanted. And you know, Floyd will only fight in Las Vegas because he can. But the problem they had was the hockey team moves in October. So they couldn't get an arena date that they wanted later in the fall, so they were stuck. That's why this is happening as quickly as it is.
Yeah.
And why it's happening at a, you know, a god-awful time of year.
What about the trade yesterday? Drouin for Sergachev. Another stunner from Mark Bergevin. He's not afraid to swing for the fence.
He is not afraid to swing for the fence. You know, in part, kind of one of those unintended consequences from the expansion draft, right? That, you know, Tampa had to make a move there. You know, really interesting swap of a very, you know, obviously a very talented offensive player for a very good junior defenseman who, you know, maybe, you know, Montreal's rolling the dice a bit here because they're, you know, you look at where they are defensively, they're pretty old. So this is Bergevin, you know, despite the fact Drouin's got, you know, get loads of upside and they signed the contract and everything, but this is Bergevin saying we've got to be a better team offensively right now. We've got to win while Carey Price is in his prime. We can't mess around anymore. And you know, that is a market not exactly known for its patience. So you know, fired the coach last year. Once you fired the coach, you played that card. The next guy they come for is Bergevin. So I think it's a bold move. I think it's a great move. I think it's a tremendous move. The one big asterisk I would attach to it, French Canadian kid playing in Montreal. It is different. That is different than being a hockey star in any other market. It's different being a sports star in most other markets because there's a whole other layer of stuff. And they're always, you know, there's always kind of that undertone where they're looking for the next guy, the next savior who is, you know, of the pays. And that's a burden that's pretty hard to bear sometimes. You know, we'll see how this kid does. But, you know, he's not just a hockey star. He's a hockey star who's Quebecois. And he will get a lot of attention. I'm not sure in Montreal if you can protect him from that. I'm not sure if you can just kind of seal him off the way they've tried to seal off, you know, Austin Matthews in Toronto from the media. It is the French media there especially are relentless, and they'll be talking about this kid every night on TV. Probably talking about him every night this week on TV. Yeah. I hope he's got the fortitude to stand up to that.
I was going to ask you, if he were not French-Canadian, I wonder what the thought would have been in Montreal where they trade a defense prospect for a young forward who had 21 goals last year but also had the holdout and everything with Tampa Bay. I think a lot of the love affair has to do with the fact that he's from Quebec.
Yeah, no, it does. Look, it's obviously a factor, but I think the one thing would be that, you know, I think Drouin's probably more of a playmaker than a scorer as he evolves. I kind of think that's the kind of guy he's going to be. He's really good. But I think everybody who watched that Canadiens team not score goals, you know, the frustration of having a guy who, you know, mostly is the best goaltender in the world, you know, a goaltender good enough to win a Stanley Cup for sure, and just the inability to score, you know, whatever his last name was, if you got a score, you're probably okay with that.
Your final note says anything Jays. Yes. What's on your mind?
Well, I think they may creep over 500 or creep to 500. They got the White Sox in town. It's interesting watching what's going on around them, though. I was, you know, the Orioles lost again last night. The Orioles are now one game under 500. Remember what the Orioles looked like in April. There are a bunch of teams kind of in the same boat right now. And, you know, which is, I mean, maybe it's what it's going to make decisions tricky for Mark Shapiro and company as they decide where to go. But, you know, Cleveland's kind of in the same boat right now. The Cubs are in the same boat right now. You know, a lot of good teams are kind of scuffling around 500. It's not just the Blue Jays. So that decision about whether you're in or you're not in, you know, this is the easy part of their June sked. There's going to be a hellaciously tough part right before the All-Star break. And I think it's going to be a very, very tough call for these guys, which way to go. I think they're going to have to add, and I think they're going to have to try and win this year. I think that's the logical way to go. But, you know, a 10-day free fall, we might be having a very different conversation. It is not clear-cut. But I say that the Toronto is not alone in that. There are a bunch of places where, again, if you think Toronto's out of it right now, then you also think the Cubs are out of it. And you also think the Indians
Cleveland,
are out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think either of those teams are out of it.
Biagini tonight on the mound, back-to-back starts where he's gone seven strong. I've been impressed. What have you seen from the Rule Fiver from last year?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, he's been great. But a tricky moment. Again, presuming all their pitchers stay healthy after Sanchez comes back, which has not been true at all this year. But, you know, Strata scuffled a bit right now. Jay Happ is looking good. Liriano coming off his best start as a Blue Jay. That's one too many starters when they're all healthy. And I wonder what they're going to do. Because, you know, you can say, well, they can send Biagini back to the bullpen, but what I'm hearing from everybody is that if you do that now, he's not starting again this year, that you cannot stretch him out again. So, one line of thinking is that you send him down to Buffalo to their AAA team, keep him in his regular routine, and just have him there in case somebody gets hurt. But, you know, it would seem bizarre to have a guy who's pitched as well as he has this year pitching for your minor league team. I'm not sure what decision you make there, because if he's not your sixth starter, you don't have any good options. You know, then you're back to the Matt Latos of this world. So, that'll probably solve itself the way the season has gone, because somebody will probably get hurt. But that's coming. That decision is coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Have a fine weekend. I understand you're heading off to heading out to the cabin, are you?
I am heading to the cabin a little early this year because there's going to be a bit of back and forth, including the direct flight from Deer Lake, Newfoundland to Las Vegas in August.
You got that chartered, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is going to be one of those kind of mind-melting experiences, I think. I'm looking forward to it.
You should just drive.
I could just drive, that's true.
Be the same...
A couple days on a ferry,
yeah,
no big deal.
Yep. Same amount of time just to hop in the car and drive. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.